Haven't turned in your Bible yet to Hebrews chapter 1, please do. And in the bulletin is an outline that will go along with this short sermon. Some of you chuckled. What do you mean? Don't believe I can do it, do you? We're going to finish up the message that I began 3 weeks ago and that we've been pushing through these past weeks. And I believe God has something special for us today. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, just the first four verses in Hebrews 1. And let's read that together. And would you please stand out of respect and reverence for God's Word as we read that Scripture together in unison. Let's begin. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Please be seated. Amen. When I turned 17, I got my driver's license. I think it actually was a little bit earlier. And I grew up in New Jersey, and so you could get it. You could also get your motorcycle license, which I promptly, much to my parents' chagrin, got my motorcycle license and got a motorcycle. And the first one that I got was, you know, it was an okay motorcycle, something to get around on. But as I began to work more hours and school was out for the summer and put in a lot of hours and saved up my money, I was able to find and purchase a Kawasaki KZ500. It was fairly new on the market, and it was a two-stroke motorcycle, street motorcycle. And I got that thing, and man, it was fast. It was sweet, and it was fast. And all of my friends had gotten Yamahas and actually, one of my friends got a brand new Yamaha shaft drive. I don't even remember if it was like a 1,000cc shaft drive bike. But this one I had was used, and it was a little bit older than some of my friends. But, man, I could blow them off the road. When we would start, whether it's at a light or just a start off, I would let them get ahead a little bit just for fun. And then, man, I'd hit that power band with the two-stroke, and I would just whiz right by him. Man, I was the supreme one. I could take anybody. Now, a few years later, Yamaha began to come out with some really cool bikes and, you know, things that were so fast it was just, you know, scary to drive it. Anyway, that's a long story. But, you know, I thought I was the supreme one. I was on top of the hill. And, you know, in my mind, I really was, and my motorcycle was what it was all about. My life revolved around that. Everything was all revolving around motorcycles and my friends who had motorcycles, you know, and everything. It was supreme in my life. And that's unfortunate. You see, because as a young man, you know, I was putting my devotion into something that I should not have had as a devotion. But rather, the Lord Jesus Christ should have been my devotion because He, and only He, is the Supreme One. As we look at these scriptures here, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. And we must embrace Him, God's Son, as the Supreme One, the One who is God's final revelation and whose victory has provided salvation for us and new life for us. He is the Supreme One. Now, as we press on in this, some of this is real quick review. Jesus Christ is the Supreme One. He is the heir of all things, we're told here. He is God's final revelation, and He is the radiance of God's glory, the powerful one. He has provided salvation for us, purification for our sins, and new life, as we talked about a little bit earlier through communion. My question, again, as I start this third part of this message is, do you know Him? Do you know the Supreme One? Do you know Jesus Christ, the final revelation of the Father to us? We saw last time, number one, that He is the Supreme One because of who He is. He is the final revelation to us, we're told in verse 2. God spoke in the past to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. And we talked about that. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the fullness and the finality of revelation to us. Just a brief side note about that. There is today, in what I would look at as popular church culture, there are those that are claiming to be super apostles. I'm not sure what they mean by that, by calling themselves super apostles, but what concerns me is their claim. They claim that what they say, what they speak, is revelation to us, and it's on par with God's Word. In other words, when they speak revelation, that we are to accept what they say as on par with God's Word. Let me tell you something. There are no super apostles whose Word is on par with the Word of God. God's Word is final and complete. It was final and complete with the Supreme One, Jesus Christ. As I said last week, God does give words of direction to us, but it always refers back to God's final revelation, that is in Christ. So we may get a word of direction, but it must always line up with God's Word in here, amen? It must always line up with what God has revealed. And you know what? This Bible has been complete and full since before the end of the first century. I've heard people say, well, you know, different church councils are what really made up the Bible and, you know, wrote it down. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Before the end of the first century, the Bible we have in our hands is exactly the same Bible that they had. It was called the Moratorian Canon. All the books of the Bible that we accept and understand today as the rule for God's people were there. It wasn't a church council that decided it. It wasn't a pope that came along and just, you know, said, oh, this is the authority for us now. And by the way, not even the pope. I hope you understand it. I hope if you come from a Catholic background, you're not offended at this. But we do not believe that the pope has authority in his teachings and in his homilies and in his declarations that is on par with God's Word. We don't accept that. Rather, there is one and only one authority, and that is God's Word that He has revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the fullness and the finality. And the Word says here that in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, and given Him as a final revelation to us. My question again is, do you know Him? Do you know this one who is the final revelation? Do you know the one that God has sent into this world to reveal Himself to you and to me? I want you to think with me for just a moment. Why did God send His Son? Did He need it? Did He need to do it for Himself? No. He didn't need to do it for Himself. Why did He do it? He did it for you and for me, so that we could understand God. For indeed, John says that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld, or we understood, what God is like. Jesus Christ, God's Son, full of grace and truth. A lot of people say, you know, I'd really like to know God. I really like to know what God is like. Well, how would you know that? How would you and I know what God is like unless God reveals Himself to us? Well, guess what? He has revealed Himself to us. He's revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's press on. Not only is God's Son, Jesus Christ, the final revelation, but we're told, B, that He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being. Look with me at verse 3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Radiance, this is a very interesting word. The word radiance is used with the sun, correct? We think of the sun and we think of the sunlight. It's the radiance of the sun coming forth. But watch this. As the sunlight is the radiance from the sun, it is separate, yet it is inseparable. So the Son of God is separate, yet inseparable from the Father. He is the radiance, the coming forth, the shining forth of the Father to you and to me. The effulgence. The glory of God shining forth to you and to me. But we have to understand that this is a physical radiance of an invisible and spiritual God. You see, God cannot be seen because God is spirit. That's why we're told that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You and I come to church, and that's why we don't have Jesus on the cross here. You notice that. Perhaps if you're here today for the first time, or maybe you're here and you've just never noticed, we don't have Jesus on the cross. There's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is done. He died on the cross, and then he rose again. And so it's really kind of a misnomer to have Jesus hanging on the cross. We understand that it's sort of a symbol of his ongoing work of redemption and atonement, but it's done. It's over. It's final. Finished. That's what Jesus said on the cross, didn't he? It is what?
Done.
Finished. Done. So we don't have Jesus on the cross. The other reason is for what kind of picture of Jesus are you going to make? You going to have a white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus? Are you going to have a black, dark-haired, dark-eyed Jesus? Well, if we're going to try to be realistic, then we ought to have a Jewish man, probably with a big nose and big ears, and long hair with prayer shawl locks down the side, and, you know, probably very thin because he was a carpenter. And in Psalms, we're told that he had no visage, nothing that would draw us to him, so he's going to be a homely man. I mean, if we're going to be accurate, that's the kind of man you want to have a picture of. But the reality is we don't know what Jesus looked like, and so we don't try to picture him there. Why? Because, you see, people get stuck on that kind of stuff. There's a lot of churches where they have what they're called icons. And whether it's of Jesus or of Mary, which that's a whole other topic, and I won't get into that. I know you don't believe me, but I'm not. I'm stopping right there. But we don't use images or icons because Jesus is the risen spiritual Son of God. Now, we know that he came back. He came back and he revealed himself. He showed himself to his people. But you know, I think sometimes Christians, sometimes they get, I'm just going to say it, Christians get goofy. Christians get weird. When Jesus came back, he came back just the way he was previously. You know, he didn't come out with all these decorations all over him and a big tubular hat with a big tassel hanging off of it. He just didn't come back like that kind of thing. Okay? He came back as just who he was, and he goes, "Hey guys, got anything to eat?" And he took some fish and he ate it in front of them. See, it was Jesus. It was him. You know, and you know, we just want to make things weird. You know, when we put Jesus, you see the old pictures and Jesus has this, you know, luminescent halo around his head. What's that? Who got this idea of halos? You know, maybe they thought he was an alien or something. And that was the precursor to the whole alien theory going on. I don't know. I'm getting off track. Here we go. He is the radiance of God's glory, and, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. We only got a couple more minutes here. He is the, somebody said hallelujah. I think he meant that hallelujah, at least we have a couple more minutes. Amen? Hallelujah, you're not stopping, Pastor. Good. Amen. Amen. Preach it, Pastor, preach it. He is the exact representation of his being. Watch this. When God revealed himself to the Israelites, to his people who he had called through Moses, called to follow and worship him, he calls Moses up on the mountain. And the physical manifestation of God at that point was lightning and clouds and thunder and a very scary scenario. Sometimes I see on the weather report when you see some of the tornadoes and terrible, terrible thunderstorms that are coming across the western plains, and you look at that and it's like, ooh, man, that is scary looking. When I was down in North Carolina for those years, it was like almost every afternoon. You'd be working and you just kind of look out and you see on the horizon, it is just as black and dark as can be. And you knew in about 10 minutes that big thunderstorm was coming in. It was almost a daily affair. And when it come in, man, the wind would pick up and stuff would just start blowing around. The lightning would be flashing all over the place and it would break out with rain. It was scary. It was scary. We actually had, it was 1997. We had what was called a gustinado. Not a tornado. It's like a mini tornado. They called it a gustinado. And during one of these terrible storms, this thing came down and it just touched down just real briefly. And it basically devastated the convenience store. It just came down and went BAM! And blew the convenience store apart and then went on its way. And it was like somebody set off a bomb. It's scary. And so the people at that time, they said, Moses, you go on up to the mountain, keep us away from this God because we're frightened of him. And God had said to them, don't come near the mountain. Moses, you and the elders can come up on the mountain, and I'm going to give you the law, but the rest of the people, stay away. Don't even touch the mountain, because if you do, you're going to die. That's scary. That's scary. You look up on the mountain, you see lightning and thunder, you're like, ooh, this is a God who wants to know me, who wants to have a relationship with me. Man, I'm not sure that I want to know him. You see, God hasn't revealed himself in a new way. He didn't reveal himself only that way, but he reveals himself now through his Son. The Son is the exact representation of his being. He is a physical manifestation of the spiritual God. He's also, we're told, he is the character, the stamp of God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. This word is character. We understand that word. Some of you all here are characters. By the way, characters are welcome here at this church. They really are. But the word character here actually means a stamped, exact expression or image. It's a precise replica in every respect. So when we're talking about God's Son, the Supreme One, he is the exact expression or image, a precise replica of God in every respect. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then it jumps in verse 14, it says, and the Word, which is God's Son, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Can you jump to verse 14 for me, Jim? I know I'm a little out of order on this. That's supposed to come a little bit later. And we'll come back to that later. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is that saying? Jesus came to earth and put skin on. Jesus came from God the Father and put skin and flesh and bones on so that you and I could know and understand who God is, what he's like. And Jesus, watch this. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No other man in history, no other person has ever dared make that statement, make that claim. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We're talking about the Son, who is the Supreme One. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15. Colby Garrett will read that for us.
Image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
You see it? He's the image of the invisible God. Why? Because God is spirit. God is not physical like you and I are. And He's invisible and God has sent His Son. Do you know Him? Do you know the Supreme One, Jesus Christ? You see, not only did He come that we might know the Father, but also that we could be in relationship with Him. We could know who Jesus Christ is. See, Jesus Christ, the Supreme One, is also not only the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, but He is the agent of and the sustainer of all creation. We read in verse 2, it says, "In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, through whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe." God made the universe through the agent of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the agent through whom God created all things. And not only did He create all things, watch this. Verse 3 tells us, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." You know, I'm very fascinated by scientific things. I'm very fascinated by this stuff. Mostly because I don't understand it. You know, my little pea brain can hardly understand, you know, easy, simple stuff. And some of this really complex stuff, man, it just blows me away. You know, you get down to the molecular level, the atomic level. How does this stuff work? How does it hold together? How does this actually stay together like this? Why don't we just like all blow apart? And you know, scientists have told us, you get down to the molecular level and an atom is mostly made up of space. It's mostly space. How does that work? How is it that space with these tiny little molecules can be solid? How is that possible? How is it that water stays together? Did you ever notice that? You push water apart, what happens? It kind of blobs back together again. How could you not take water apart and not stay apart? All these crazy things. And I know you're thinking, "Tom, you are simple, aren't you?" It's because I don't comprehend this kind of stuff. But what I understand is there is a binding force. There is a force that holds things together. There is a force that holds this world together. There's a force that holds this universe together. And it's called evolution. I'm just making sure y'all awake. Y'all haven't dozed off on me here. Evolution holds it all together. We owe everything to evolution. Because at the beginning there was a big bang and primordial ooze came together and blew up stars and blew up rocks. And before you know it, here we are. And if you believe that, then you have a whole lot more faith than I do. I believe there's a creator God. Maker and sustainer of the universe. And yes, there was a big bang. God said, "Here it is. I created it and it came to be." That's the big bang. And I know there's a lot of places where science can coincide with scripture and I understand that. And I don't think all scientists are out to somehow try and disprove God, but there is an atheistic evolution out there that is just so ridiculous. It just goes so far that it basically leaves God out of the picture altogether. That's another sermon. God, through His Son, the Supreme One, Jesus Christ, not only created all things, but sustains all things by His powerful word. This is the one we are called to know. This is the one that you and I must know as the Supreme One in our lives. John 1:1-3 again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Verse 3. "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." You might ask, why did John, the apostle of Christ, the one who God said through His Son, "He will be my apostle"? John wrote these words. Why did he write these words? You see, because in that day, there was a very complicated theory that the Greeks held. And it had to do with the creation of what they called aeons. And those of you who are familiar with some of this, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't, just tune it out. It's okay. They had this complicated theory about how creation happened. You know, it happened through these emanations. But the thing is, where did these emanations come from? Where did it all start? I love that old song. Nothing from luffin' leaves. You gotta have something. Right? You gotta have something. Where does it start? And they knew. You can't start with nothing and end up with something. And so John says, through Him, Christ, the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing has been made that has been made. Without Christ, there is no creation. Without Christ, there is no sustaining. He holds all things together. He is the binding force. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. Dave Kofelt, our resident scientist, he will read that for us.
For by Him all things were created, things in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together.
There it is. You see, the writer of Hebrews has written this independently of Paul, and now Paul verifies the exact same thing the writer of Hebrews says. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. I'll give you an assignment if you're interested in science. Go and Google the binding force. Go and Google that. And you'll see that scientists have no explanation for the binding force. They have no explanation. They cannot tell us why things consist and subsist and hold together. They cannot explain it. How is it possible that the first molecules that ever did come together, whatever they were, how is it possible that they came together and that they hold together? It's because of Jesus Christ, the Supreme One, the Maker of heaven and earth, the Sustainer, the Agent of all creation, and the Sustainer of creation. Do you know Him? Do you know this One? Do you know the Supreme One whom God brought all things into existence and by whom He basically sustains this world? Through the powerful Word of Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of all reality. He's the center of all existence. More importantly, as I ask that question, and I'm heading down to home base here, I ask this question, do you know Him? And have you surrendered your life to Him? Because you see, if you're going to know Him, you got to know Him on His terms. You're not going to come to Jesus and then live life on your terms. Jesus said, if you're going to come to Me, you're going to come to Me as Lord. He says, if you don't come to Me and you don't die to yourself, you cannot be My disciple. You cannot. So as I close today, I end with that question. Do you know Him? Do you know this powerful One? Do you know this One that is the Supreme One? The final revelation of the Father, the agent and sustainer of all creation. He is the revelation of God to us so that we can know God. Let's pray. Father, I ask that You would take my stumbling words and touch the hearts of those that need to know You today. And then, Lord, for those of us who know Jesus, that we would, a new fascination, a new appreciation would come of the Son of God, the final Word. Oh, Lord, may our hearts long to know Him more. Maybe we be fascinated with the Son. And then, Lord, those that need to take that step to know You through Christ, Lord, that You would touch hearts today. You would do the work that only You can do. If that's you today and you know you need to reach out to Jesus, you need to lay your life down before Him, you know you need to know Him, then we invite you at the close of the service. You come on up. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you some more. Maybe you have some questions. Maybe you don't fully understand this. We probably don't understand it all either, but there's one thing we know, that Jesus Christ is real and He is in our lives. And we'd love to introduce you to Him. So if that's you, you come on up afterwards. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. Father, I thank you for the attention of these people. I thank you for their patience and the attention to your word. Lord, anything that's been of me, that you would remove it from their minds and let only the truth of your word remain. I bless these people. The love of God, the Heavenly Father, be with them. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The people of God said, amen. First time folks, I'd love to meet you out in the lobby. If you have a prayer need for any reason, come on up. Let our elders and deaconesses pray for you. God bless you all.